so today is Daf Samach Vav. We're going to start on the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Hemed Beis. Today's Daf and the week is sponsored by Marcel Shimon, Lazecher Nishmas, his father, Yisrael Isser ben Siyum ben Yaakov. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. Thank you, Marcel. Okay, so the Mishnah is going to continue discussing, I believe we're up to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is going to continue discussing items which a person can or cannot go out with in the first Rabbim Shabbos. And there's a picture the Mishnah is talking about now, somebody who is missing his foot, right? So it's talking about a person who's missing his foot, which is called akiteya. So someone who has missing the bottom of his foot, and he used to have some sort of prosthetic, I guess. It was a prosthetic shoe, like foot-like shoe. And they would stick it was almost like his foot was like a peg that would stick into the shoe. So akiteya, so this person who is missing his foot, yotze bikav, he can go out bikav shelo. Rashi says, why can he go out with it? The minal didehu, because that's like his shoe. That becomes like his shoe, and he can go out with it. Divrei Rav Meir, that's the words of Rav Meir. But Rav Yossi oser, Rav Yossi says it's aser, because he holds, according to Rashi, he holds that it's not considered a shoe. Tosfos points out, because this is not something that you actually necessarily, it's not necessarily weight-bearing. Not necessarily used to put his weight on, or he could walk without it, and therefore it's not considered a shoe, and therefore it's not a takshit, it would be a masa, and therefore he wouldn't be able to carry it and walk out with it. The Mishnah then says, "V'im yesh lo beis kibul kisisin tameh." If the opening of the wood shoe, if there's an opening that's big enough to stick rags in, I guess the rags might go in order to soften around his stump that goes in. So if it's wide enough to accept these rags, then this wooden item, which typically would not be mekabel tumah, but if it has a base kibul, if it has a receptacle now, it would be mekabel tumah, right? Rashi says, "Im yesh lo beis kibul ketitin shenechakak bo." It's like hollowed out. Kedei kibul ketitin shel begadin, in order to accept or to it can hold these rags, right? Laniach rosh shoko alein, to put his foot in there. So then it's mekabel tumah, because then all of a sudden it becomes it's no longer pshute kliyot, which is flat wooden items which are not mekabel tumah. It becomes a base kibul, which is then is mekabel tumah. So Rashi had explained right away that he says that the machlokas here is that whether or not we consider this to be a shoe or not, right? Tosos on Amud Beis, on the page, he says, Perish HaKotchus, Kito Shenikata Raglo, Osa Kamin Defos Regal, V'chok B'ma'at L'shem Rosh Shoko B'socho, right? V'eino Nismach Alav. He doesn't lean on it. M'shem Hachi Yotze B'kav Shalo, D'min Al-Didehu. He says it's a shoe. Rav Yossi, Oser, Yossi, it's Oser, D'Lav Tachshi, so it's not considered a shoe. V'eino Minol, it's not his shoe, V'havi Masoy, and it's a burden. Tosos then asks, Rabbi Yehuda Tam asks, the sugi appears in the Gemara in Yoma, Adaf Ayin Ches, and over there it's Mashma, the Chuli Alma Minolo, that everyone holds that this is a shoe. And that's why you wouldn't be able to wear it on Yom Kippur, right? So in Yom Shabbos, so what's the machlokas here according to Tosfos? So the machlokas here according to Tosfos is whether or not in Yom Shabbos b'hadu plik Rabbi Yossi. This is the machlokas. The Rabbi Yossi gazar dilma mifseik v'asi lasuye. Rabbi Yossi is concerned that maybe it'll fall off and then you'll carry it. So you may carry it b'shus harabim. So the Rav Meir lo gazar. And Rav Meir does not make the gzera. So you can say the Yeshlomer, the Hachinami, the High Pligi. Same thing over here. That's what the Machlokus is over here. But the Gemara says later on, Tosfos says, "What are you talking about? If this is something that he's using as his shoe, you meaning he's using to walk?" He says a few lines down, "Im Tomer Heichi Gazrina Dilmal Nafe VeAsul Asuye." How would you ever make the Gzeira that maybe it's going to fall off and he's going to carry? Haloin Ze Ela Regel Echad. This is his foot. The Inafa Lo Yozuzum Komo. If it falls off, he's not moving anywhere until he puts it back on. So the Omeri, so the Re says, the Mairi Shen Noseya Biyado Makel. Big Chiddush here. The Re says, we're talking about where not only is he using the shoe, he's also using some sort of crutch, a stick, a staff. The Ikar Halichasohi Besmichas Hamakel. And the regular, and he's walking, what makes him walk is the stick or the crutches. Bahashti Nami Mifsuk Yukol Aholich. So now, if the shoe falls off, he would still be able to walk, because his Ikar walking is with the crutches. And the Khan Tosfos says, Yishla Hatter Misha Kavatso Gide Shoko Lelechas B'Maklo B'Shabbos. Basically, Tosfos says from here, you can mater people for crutches. If you can't walk any other way, and the only way you can walk is via the crutches, Tosfos says here, you can walk out with them in a Rishus Harabim. And I believe that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, right? The Shulchan Aruch says, I had it before. Somewhere in Shin Aleph, that you can go out with the crutches, with the sticks that you can go out with. Okay, so that's that first part of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah, smucho shelo. So this is talking about a person who's now has an issue with both feet, so he can't lean on any of his feet, and basically he walks on his shins. He has no neither feet, and he walks on his shins. But the smucho, so these sort of shin guards that he puts on his shins, so that when he crawls along the floor, he doesn't it's not abrasive onto his clothing and onto his legs. So smucho shelo, right? Timein medras. So those are something, and also these things have a base kibble. They're not flat. They weigh to put your foot in there. So they go on his foot, on his shin, and therefore they're susceptible to be kabel tumah medras, because they're something that he's supposed to lean on. If he's a zav and tumah sheyotze migufo, is metame something that you would sit on, like a pillow or a cushion. These are cushions for him, and therefore they were susceptible for tumas medras viyotzin behen b'shabbos, and he can wear them on Shabbos because they're going to be like his tachshit. They are going to be, Rashi says, Yotzim Behem B'Shabbos, the Tachshit Dehu. For him, this is his shoe. This is how he walks around. This is his clothing, right? But the Nichnasin Behem B'Azara, and he's permitted to wear them into the Beis HaMikdash, right? Normally in the Beis HaMikdash, as Tosfos points out, Rashi points out, the Afakav the Tanan lo yichanes Adam lahar abayis b'minalo. You're not allowed to walk into the Beis HaMikdash with shoes. When you come to a holy place, Sal na'alecha me'arek lecha, you're supposed to take off your shoes. Hani lav minol ninhu de lav berosh raglohen. These are not shoes because they're not on his feet; they're on his shins, so they don't constitute shoes for the purpose of the base of Mikdash. So he can go in. Next case, which is also a great case, is kise for v'smucho shelo timehin medras. So you have a person with a chair. So it seems in the picture it points out also is a person sort of had a chair that he would sit on. And then he would have like these two blocks that he would push himself forward, thrust himself forward on the floor. Yeah, Marcel? Yep, I sent out the picture yesterday. So he has it. It's also in the Masifta. And he would have these two blocks that he would push out. So this chair is also Tamei Medras, obviously, because he's sitting on it. But he says, V'ein yotzin behem b'Shabbos. You can't walk out on Shabbos. V'ein nichnasim behem azara. You can't go out into them in the azara. So what is ein yotzin b'Shabbos? So Rashi says, look at this, Rashi. Rashi says, Kisei. Yesh kiteya, you have a person who's lame, she yavasho v'kvatso gidei shoka, that his whole leg is completely, you know, withered. Vafilo arkavosov in yocholel, he can't even walk on his shins. V'osik him in kisei, he sits, makes this chair, namoch, a low chair, v'yoshev alav, and he sits on it. U'kezhu mahalech, and when he walks, nismach al yodav b'safslim katanim, he puts his hands on these small little benches. And he pushes on them, and then he sits back on the chair. The chair is tied to him. So we're getting into wheelchairs, so to speak, here also, about pushing wheelchairs. Rav Moshe actually has a tshuva that allows a person who cannot walk at all, to use the wheelchair, not necessarily to be pushed, but to use the wheelchair himself in the Rishus HaRabim. There are those who argue, because that's not actually using it as what to walk on, it's just thrusting him. Okay, but here we're getting into the idea of wheelchairs. So he says, the smuchos shalo, as Rashi says, smucho shal oso kiteya, oso lo smucho shal or o shal eitz l'rosh shokov o raglov hatluyim. So what happens is he has these stumps on his feet. So he makes these sort of like leather covers on his stumps, because when he's dragging across the ground, he may drag his feet, you know, the stumps across the ground. So he has these covers on him. So Rashi says those things are not Yotzeim B'Shabbos. Why? Because those things aren't tied so well. They may fall off, and then he may pick them up and then carry them on Tal Ramash Sarabim. And he says, V'ein Nichnasim Ben Bazara, these things, these smuchos that he puts on the stumps, he cannot walk into the Beis HaMikdash because those are shoes, because those are on the bottom of his feet, or bottom of his legs, and that's considered shoes, and that he may not walk into the Beis HaMikdash with. Right, the Mishnah continues and says, Rashi says, looked him in, he says, talmashka, like a mask, which we'll see, it's one of three shitos in the Gemara. It was this sort of mask. This looked him in are tahorim. They are tarer, they're not mekabel tumah, Rashi says. The enu klitashmish velo tashrit. They're not a usable thing. or and they're not anything. They're not mekabel tuma. They ain't yodsem b'shabbos, and you can't in Shabbos you can't go out with them because they're not considered clothing. They're just luktamim. Right. One of them is the picture I sent yesterday is that it's this mask that was used sort of to scare the kids. Like that's not sure why they do that, but they had this scary mask that would use to scare the kids. That's something that they don't go out on Shabbos. And that actually I sent yesterday also. There's a tshuva that Rav Asher Weiss uses this over here to discuss about in places where you don't have an Erev about wearing masks on Shabbos during today's day and age. He's matir, just to let you know. He's matir without any question to wear these masks in the Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Amar Lei, Rav L'Rav Nachman. Rav then asks Rav Nachman, Hechi Tnan, how is the Mishnah written? What does that mean? So we have in the Mishnah clear is that it says that with the kiteya going out with his prosthetic, we say that Rav Meir is matir and Rav Yossi, right, and Rav Yossi is oser. So they're asking, well, what's the proper girsa? Who is it? Rav Meir who says it's mutter, Rav Yossi is oser, or was it the fakert? The Rav Yossi said mutter, and Rav Meir said oser. Right, Rashi says heichi tnan hakoteya yotze the Rav Yossi oser. Oh, ain hakoteya yotze that the koteya cannot go out for Rav Yossi matir. Which way is it? Who's the matir in this case? Rav Meir, Rav Yossi. So Amar Lei Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman hechi tnan. So Amar Lei, he answers him lo yadana. I don't know. So he asked him, well, hilchos am I? Well, what's the halacha like? Because if I know what the halacha is like, maybe based on rules of psak, I can figure out who said what. So hilchos am I? So Amar Lei Rav Nachman says back to him, lo yadana. I don't know. So Rav Nachman wasn't much help. So Itmar, they learned to the base measures. Amar Shmuel says this is the girsa. Ain hakiteya that Rav Meir says the kiteya cannot go out with the prosthetic, and Rav Yossi would be the matir. V'chein amar Rav Huna, and Rav Huna also agreed it's ain hakiteya, meaning Rav Meir is the oser and Rav Yossi is the matir. Amar Rav Yossi, so Rav Yossi then says, Hoel the amar Shmuel ain hakiteya. Since Shmuel is the one who establishes the girsa, that meaning not like our girsa, but the girsa is that Rav Meir asks Rav Yossi as his mutter, the amar Rav Huna ain kiteya, and Rav Huna also has this girsa, anan nami nitne ain hakiteya. I will also say that that's the girsa, the proper girsa is ain hakiteya. Rav Meir says you're not allowed, Tanakam says not allowed, Rav Yossi says you are allowed. But maskif Rav Bashira, lo shmiya luhu, huh? Did these Amorayim not hear the following? Did mustin la Rav Chanan bar Rav lechia bar Rav kamei de Rav bikituna de be Rav that they learned that Rechia bar Abba spoke to Rav Chanan bar Abba in front of Rav in some small room in the side of Rav's base medrash that says ein hakiteya yotze bekaf shel divrei Rav Meir v'Rav Yossi matir. They said their girsa that Rav Meir is the oser and Rav Yossi is the matir. And Rav made some sort of simon to tell him to switch it around, right? To switch around, meaning that he holds like our girsa, which is Rav Meir is the matir, and Rav Yossi is the aser. And Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, v'simanach, and the simon to remember who says what is samach samach. Samach samach, Rav Yossi with a samach is oser with a samach, which is like our girsa. Rav Meir is matir, Rav Yossi is makes it aser. The Av Shmuel Hadarbe. The Gemara then says, you know what? Shmuel retracted and he said that he was wrong. That the Mishnah is like we have it. Rav Meir is the matir. Rav Yossi is the oser. The Tanan, because he quotes a Mishnah Gabi Chalitza. Okay, by Chalitza again, you know, woman husband dies, no children. Brother Gidu Yibu Chalitza. The mother. The Mishnah there says Chalitza b'sandal she'ena shelo. Let's say he does Chalitza and he doesn't own the sandal. It's not his shoe. So chalitza b'sandal she'ena shelo, or b'sandal shel eitz, or a wooden sandal, o shel smol b'yamin, or he used the left shoe with his right hand, chalitza k'shera, even though that's not the way you're supposed to do it. Nevertheless, b'di'evad, the chalitza is valid. Va'amrina and mantana, and we asked, who is the Tana who says that the chalitza is kosher here with a wooden shoe? Right, so you're saying now that the shoe is wood, which would play into our Mishnah, right? Machlokas being, at least our Rashi learned it, whether this wooden thing is considered a shoe or not. So, of Amar Shmuel, Rav Meir, this should go according to Rav Meir, it's not, because Rav Meir says, Hakita, Yotze, Bekav, Shalot, Divrei Rav Meir. Clear our, like, our Girsa, that Rav Meir holds that this is a shoe. So it's a shoe Legabi Shabbos, and therefore you can go out. It's a shoe Legabi Chalitza, and therefore it can be used, right? It can be used, Divrei Rav Meir, Rav Yossi Oser, Rav Yossi Oser. See, at the end of the day, Shmuel accepts our Girsa of the Mishnah retracts the way he learned the Girsa of the Mishnah. The Af Rav Huna Hadarbei, and even Rav Huna, who previously said that the Girsa of our Mishnah is Rav Meir's Oser, Rav Yossi's Matir, he's going to flip it to our Girsa that Rav Meir's Matir and Rav Yossi's Oser. The Tanan, because of the following Bryce, would prove that. Sandal Shel Sayodim. So it seems to be some sort of like galoshes that were worn, like a sandal of the people who worked in with the lime. It had this wood. They had this wooden shoe that would cover their feet, I guess, to keep their shoes from getting ruined by the lime. So sandal shel sayadim, it's made out of wood. Rashi says it's tamei medrash. If you put it on, Azov puts it on to become tamei because he's supporting it, supporting him. The isha choletzbo, and a woman can use it for chalitza. Therefore, you see, it's a good shoe, even though it's wood. The yotzimbo b'shabbos, he can go out on Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. These are the words of Rabbi Akiva. V'lo hodulo. But the Chachamim did not agree to Rabbi Akiva. So the Hatznan. This is apparently a mission of Hatznan. It's a mission idios. Hodulo. Hatznan hodulo. But doesn't it say? Now the Brisa says that the Chachamim were not moded to Rabbi Akiva. But the Mishnah in Idios says they were moded to Rabbi Akiva that the sandal shel sayadim is tamei medrash. The Amar Rav Huna man hodulo. So Rav Huna says, who's the one who does admit to Rabbi Akiva that he's correct? It's Rav Meir. Uman hodulo. And who does admit? It's Rabbi Yossi. So you see again, Rav Meir says it's a shoe. Rav Yossi says it's not a shoe. Rav Meir admits to Rabbi Akiva. Rav Yossi does not admit to Rabbi Akiva. It's considered a shoe. And therefore, if it's a shoe, therefore, according to Rav Meir, you can go out with it on Shabbos. According to Rav Yossi, you may not go out with it on Shabbos. You see, at the end of the day, everyone agrees to our Girsa that it's Rav Meir who's Matir and Rav Yossi who is Oser. So now the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Amar. So in other words, we have the steerer between the Brisa and the Mishnah as to whether or not this wooden shoe cover worn by the lime workers is Tamei Medrash. Is it considered a shoe or not? So first we said that it's a machlokas now between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. And now Rav Yosef Amar, Man Lo Hodulo. Who's the Tana that doesn't admit to Rabbi Kiva? It's somebody else. It's Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. It's the Shita of Yochanan ben Nuri, the Tanan, because he holds Kaveris Shel Kash, which usually means a hive, but here I think it means a mat of straw, Vishifoferes Kalkanim, or a small little basket made out of reeds, Rabbi Kiva Mitame. Rabbi Kiva says that that's Mitame. I guess that's Mitame, is susceptible to becoming Tame. Rav Yossi ben Nuri Mitahir. Rav Yossi ben Nuri says it's Tahor. What's their machlokas? The machlokas over there, look at Rashi. Rashi says it's the second of the middle side lines. The middle size lines, right where they got wide. Amar Rav Yochanan ben Nuri Mitahir. He says, Dilav orcha lasos mikash el mikanim. Because you don't usually make this basket from straw, you usually make it from reeds. Right? Umin el nami lav orcha me eitz el me or. And a shoe also is not typically made from wood, it's made from leather. So there, Zelosh and Rabosai. That's what he says, what Rashi says. But Rashi says, that's what his Rebbe says. But Rashi says, V'li nira sandal shel sayodim, shel kashu, v'v yochanu mitar b'kli kash, t'lav eitz ninu. He said, it's not considered wood. So the machlokas here would be whether or not the shoe, only specifically in the shoe that's worn by these lime workers, whether the shoe is something that's susceptible to tumor or not. Rekiva says yes, Rav Yochanan says no, but it's not necessarily as global a machlokas to apply it to our Mishnah of Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Okay, so the Gemara says, then the Gemara is just going to ask Rabbi Kiva, Amar Mars, right, he's born in the Braisa, Sandal Sosayodim Tamei Medrash. Why is it Tamei Medrash? How lovely Luchavdi. This whole point of the shoe was not to walk. The point of the shoe was just to cover his current shoe, to protect it from getting dirty. And therefore, it's not something for walking. And if it's only to guard the shoe, so that the lime doesn't ruin it, why is it Mekabel Tumah Medrash? So again, you only need Tumah Medrash if it's something that the Medrash uses to sit on, to support himself. So like a mat, a pillow, a chair, even a table. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Ula, Shekein Hasayi Mitayel Ba'ach Shemegil Veso. No, because the worker actually keeps it on and walks with it on until he reaches his house. He puts it on there and then he walks. He does use it to walk. So the machlokas will be, I guess, whether or not this type of walking is considered sufficient enough to raise it to the level of being something that's susceptible to Mekabel Tumas Medrash. You know, Rabbi Kiva will say yes, and those who low hold it low would say no. Okay. The Mishnah then continued. V'im yesh lo beis kibul l'kisisin tameh. We said if this pshute kli eitz, this prosthetic that he had, has a big enough receptacle to, for rags to be put in, then it can be susceptible to tumah. Again, because this is wood. Wood that doesn't have a base kibbutz, doesn't have a receptacle, it's not mekabel tumah. It's called pshutei kliyetz. But if it has the receptacle, it is mekabel tumah. So here we're saying that if it has this base kibbutz, it's big enough not just to put the shoe in, to put his foot on, right? But it has a big enough receptacle to put rags in, that's going to be susceptible to tumah. So Amar Abaye says, tamei tumas mace, the ain tamei tumas medrash. If it has this big enough receptacle, that receptacle only makes the wood susceptible to become tamei mace, but it's not susceptible to become tamei medrash. Rashi says, the lo mistamach alei. Because again, this shoe is not something that is necessarily used by the person who is missing his leg, by the lame person, to support himself. It's just used basically, I guess, for beauty or something like that. So therefore, it's not considered medrash. The Rava Amar af tamei medrash. Rava says, no, it is tamei medrash because it's whatever he uses it for, it's enough to be considered support for him, and therefore it's susceptible to tumei medrash. So Amar Rava, Rava says, mina aminala, how do I know this din, that it is susceptible to medrash? Nitnan, because we have the following Mishnah that's brought in Beitza. Agala shel katan. So they used to make this sort of carriage, right? Agala shel katan. Rashi says, litzachek ba v'lataltalo ala. It's a small little carriage or wagon that the little kids would play with, and when need be, you would put them in them and push them, right? It's like a baby carriage. So agala shel katan, tamei medrash. It's tamei medrash, meaning if the katan is a zav, the agala, it can become medrash. Rashi says, Hoel upa'amim sheyoshiv aleh, because sometimes he sits on it. V'hainami zivn demistamich alayu. And so too, this prosthetic, sometimes the lame individual is going to lean on it. So therefore, it's susceptible to tumas medrash. V'abai amar, Abai says, no, it's a difference. Over there, hasam, by the wagon, by the carriage, it's susceptible to tumas medrash because the samich alayu, because it's made for that purpose to be leaned on. But hacha, and by this prosthetic, lav samich alayu, that's not made to be leaned on. It's made more as a beauty, and therefore it's not something to be leaned on, and therefore it's not going to be something that is susceptible to tumas medrash. And Amar Abaye says, mina amina la, where do I learn my din? Titanya, because there's a brisa that says, makel shazakenim tahor miklum. The makel, the stick used by the elderly to walk, does not susceptible to tumah at all. Rashi says, tahor miklum. Low medrash for low shar tumah. It's not susceptible to any tumah. Low matami medrash is not susceptible to medrash. Mishum de lava smicha avid sha'al raglam halach. It's not for leaning purposes, it's just for guiding purposes. It's just like something, it's an extra layer of protection for him. He's really walking on his feet. Right? Alma alfa gav de zimnin de mistamachale, even though sometimes he may end up leaning on it. Hoel the ikara siyoso eina lakach, since its main function is not for support, eina tumeya medrash. It's not going to be tami medrash. The ain lomer, right? So he says it's not going to be tamei medrash. So that's what Abaye says. If something that is just because every now and then it happens to be that you lean on it, if that's not what its purpose is, then that's not going to be susceptible to medrash. So Rava says no. Rava says hasam over there. It's different. It's because starting on the days sarutse sugyo avida. It's made right. It's only made to not to support his weight, but just so he can walk a little bit better. But hacha. But here by the stump. All right, by the prosthetic, it's lismoch alayu hu diavid. He says, no, I believe that it is made for him to lean on, because sometimes he's going to need it to lean his body on, v'samech alei, and sometimes he will be samech alei. So I don't know, it's a machlokas, a metzias yasi. I'm not sure how they're saying it, how they're viewing it, but I need to just cut off the question before it starts. So he's on mute, but he's nodding. So that's the machlokas of whether or not this idea about when we say that this thing has base kibbutz, Abaye says it's tamei tumah. Abaye says that the prosthetic is not tamei medrash because its not purpose is not for leaning. And Rava says it is susceptible to medrash because even though purpose may not be that way, but oftentimes he will use it to support himself, and therefore that's enough to be susceptible to tumas medrash. Okay, the Mishnah then said about the chair, right? This is a guy in that chair that he's projecting himself along with these two wooden blocks. So it has the chair. The chair says it's tamei medrash. It's tamei medrash. V'ein yotzim Shabbos, and you can't go out with him on Shabbos, Right, it's machlokas of what he's talking about. You can't go out within on Shabbos. Ve'ein nechnas in the mezarah. You can't move, bring them into the Beis Hamikdash. We said what that's talking about is that he covers the stumps of his legs with like these leather coverings, so as not to be dragged along the ground. Those things are tamei medrash because he'll lean on them. You can't go out with them on Shabbos because you're afraid that they're going to fall off because they're not tight enough. And number three, those are considered his shoes because they're on the bottom of his feet, and therefore they can't go into the Beis Hamikdash with them. So Tani Ktana Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, a Bryce, one of the Chachamim has learned before Rabbi Yochanan and said, Nachlasim behem ba'azara, you may go into the Beis HaMikdash. So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan says to this person, what are you talking about? Ani shone isho choletzitzpo. I tell you that you can use these things for chalitza. These are good enough shoes to be used for chalitza. Va'atamart nechnasim, and you say that they're not considered shoes, and therefore you can go into the Beis HaMikdash. That's impossible. Once, if it looks like a shoe, it smells like a shoe. You know, it's a duck. It's a shoe. So therefore, either you have to change the girsa of what you brought down to say a nechnasim ben lazar. You may not enter the Beis HaMikdash with these. These covers of the stumps are considered something that are shoes, and therefore you cannot go into the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Mishnah said, Lokmatin tahora, these lokmatin, right? So let's figure out what these lokmatin are. My lokmatin, what are these? Amar Rabbi Abahu, Chamara de Akapa. It's a Chamara de Akapa. Rashi says, Chamara de Akapa, second line, Chamor Hanasi b'ktafayim, v'haleitzanim osim oso. To me, I think, you have those costumes where it looks like the person is riding the horse. Right, so I think that's what it is. It's like these horse costumes. You're dressed up. It's v'nira kemisha rochev alav. It looks like you're riding the horse. So these costumes are it's just a costume. It's not something that's worn as anything, so therefore you can't go out with them. Rapapa Amar, he says, kishire. These are kishire. What a kishire? He says, these are some sort of ties. Kishire. I think these are stilts. Right, they're stilts. Rashi says it's ashkatsus. You raise yourself to avoid the mud, right? He says that these are the sort of the stilts. And the last gear says Rav Papa, Rav Huna Amar, it's prime of these masks that we talk about. You have put these masks to scare the little kids, and with these masks, you can't go out with them on Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch actually passes like all three shitos, right? He says Ein Yotzim ba'akdimim, right? He says you can't go out to akdimim. It's Shinal of Chaf. He says it's Kamin Chamor Sheosim Leitzanim Venir Karochalav, right? Lobik Sharim, which are these big stilts. And Lobit Pyramids. You pass it's like all three. You pass the Shukran, pass like all three. You can't go out with them. It makes sense. These things aren't clothing. They're not a takshit. They don't have the purpose to wear clothing. They have a different purpose, and therefore they're not usable. You can't go out with them or Shisarabim on Shabbos. Okay. Next Mishnah. And this Mishnah is going to start, and the Gemara is going to start getting into a little bit of, again, Talmudic medicine, which is something that we don't do. We don't use these treatments. Mishnah says, Habanim Yotzim Biksharim. The young boys can go out with these knotted strings on them, these knotted strings on Shabbos, they're tied around them. Ubnei Malachim, and I guess the princes, the sons of the nobility, Bizugin, they can go out with these bells, okay, which is a problem because we're making noise, right? So it comes in, you have these bells, right? So, and the happens to be a shiloh about bells like on or these things that make musical noises like a door knocker or even bells on the Sifrei Torah about whether or not you can use them on Shabbos, but Mishnah then says v'lechol adam we say banim and these things about the bnei malachim about the bells we only mentioned bnei malachim, but really it's true for anybody el shedivra chachamim behove, but the chachamim just spoke about who was typically wore them and at those times. Right, these are some sort of golden bells used for beauty. So the Gemara says, "My ksharim." What are these ksharim that we're allowing these young boys to go out with? So Amar Adam Mari, Amar of Nachman Baruch, Amar of Ashi Bar Avin, Amar of Yehuda, Kishure Pua. It's these knots or these strings made out of some grass that's called Pua. That right, Rashi says it's Garnitza. It's kosher and b'ksharim. You tie them around the neck. V'tolim b'tzavar l'refua. And it's done for refuah, and Rashi says, "V'lo yadati le'ezecholi." I don't know which sickness it's used for. It's some sort of medicinal, but I don't know which sickness it's used for. You want? I can't right now. So you want to close the door? Okay. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, "Amar li aim my mother," which is not really his mother, because Abaye was an orphan. This is the woman who raised him. Amr li aim, Tulasa Mokmi, right? Three ties prevent this illness from progressing. Chamisha Masu, five of them cure it. Shiva Afilu Kshafim Ali. If you tie seven knots or seven strings, I'm not sure, that will protect even from witchcraft. And Amr of Achabra Yaakov, Vuhu Dulo Chazi Le Shimsha Visahara. That's so long as the person who has this illness has not seen the sun or the moon. Vilo Chazi Mitra, he hasn't seen rain. Vilo Shumile Kol Barzla, he hasn't heard the sound of any metal. The Kol Tarnagolza, he hasn't heard the sound of a chicken or of a rooster. The Kol Nigri, he hasn't heard the sound of anybody stepping, anybody making steps. Some Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Nachman says, if that's the case, that you have all these conditions set forth for this thing to work, Nafal Pulter Bedeira. So this refuah of the Pua has basically fallen into the pit. It's pointless because it's never going to help anybody because no one's ever going to be able to satisfy all these conditions. So the Gemara then says about, okay, according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, that these Ksharim that we're tying are these Kishuri Pua, so why does it only work for the Banim? Right? So he says, my ira bunim, a filo bonus nami. Okay, maybe you'll say it's only a disease that young kids get, but then why only the males? Why not the girls? Right? So my, right, a filo bonus nami. So my ira katanim, so the, and even more so, my, why only young people, a filo gadolanami? Maybe it's also, if the older people also get this, that should work for them as well. So we're changing, and we're going to say that the kshuri pua, that the ksharim are not kshuri pura, ella my ksharim. What is ksharim? Ki hada amar oven barhuna, amar of chama barguria, Bain Sheyesh Gaguim al Aviv. So you have this young child. You have this. Okay, your shoes are upstairs by in your room, and your sitter's here. Sorry. So Bain Sheyesh Lo Gaguim, right? Who has Gaguim for his father? He's going to miss his father. He's going to be sent off to Cheder or something like that. And he's going to miss his father. So Notel Ritzua Biminal Shal Yamin. The father takes the lace from his right shoe, the koshalo bismolo, and ties it on the left hand of the child, and that prevents these gaguim. So I mean, here it seems to be some sort of medicinal thing. I thought maybe it would just be it's a reminder of your father. It's like holding a picture of your father that maybe you won't miss him so much. But that seems to be here that it has a skula to protect him. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak and Simanach. And how do you know which shoe, which lace to put on where? The simanach tefillin. The siman is tefillin. Because just like in tefillin, most people who aren't lefties take their right hand and tie on their left arm. So too, this father takes from the right shoe and ties on the left hand of the boy. The chilufa, but if you flip it around and you tie the left shoe, the left lace onto the right hand, that's a sakana. That becomes a sakana and you shouldn't do that. I don't know. Well, that's why I guess it's clearly talking about some sort of segula, some sort of refuah, not what I thought initially, then it's some sort of just way to prevent him from missing some sort of, like a picture. Okay. Apparently it's because it has some sort of purpose as being medicinal, it's not considered a masor, it's not considered a burden. Question is, what about refuah on Shabbos? Don't we say you're not allowed to do refuah on Shabbos? So the whole idea of refuah on Shabbos, A, is preventative. B, this is something that they never would grind. It's not the type of medicine that they would do. I'm not sure. Okay, Amar Avin Barhuna, Amar Alchama Barguria, Sachufe Kasa Tibure Bishapsa Shapirdame. What they used to take a hot cup and put it on the person's stomach on Shabbos. And that would be, I guess the cup was first filled with hot liquid, then it's poured out, then it's placed on his stomach for stomach pain. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos. But Amar Avin Barhuna, Amar Avcham Barguria, Mutul Asoch Shemen Umelach B'Shabbos. You're allowed to smear this mixture of salt and oil on someone's, it seems Rashi says, on someone's palms on Shabbos and on the soles of your feet on Shabbos. Apparently, this was to help you with a hangover. Right? It's some sort of home remedy if you drink too much. Right? So the Gemara now gives a couple places where this actually took place. Kihad de Ravuna Mibe Rav, the Rav Mibe Rabbi Chia. Right, Rabbi Chia mi bei Rav, ki havi mi baf simei. If they were drunk, right, maisi mishkol milcha, they would bring this mixture of oil or salt. V'shayfu legevaisu didhayu, v'gevaisu dichrayu. They would smear it on their palms of their hands and the soles of their feet. V'amri, and they would say this incantation. Ki heichil ditzil hay mishcha, leitzil chamri de planibar planisa. Just as the oil is thinning out by me smearing it on you, so too the wine that's causing you to be drunk should thin out, right? The wine takes over the blood. It should thin out inside, and therefore you should become sober. The ilo, but if you don't have this oil and salt, they're not available. Maishishia didanana v'sharli b'maya. You would bring some sort of seal from a barrel, soak it in water, and then say, just as the clay of the seal is thinning because of the water, so too the wine causing the drunkenness of this person. It's interesting. It says, Planya bar planyasa. So-and-so the son of, and you use the mother's name, right? That's why you also say, right, for a refu, we use the mother's name. That should become thin, and therefore and he should not be drunk anymore. Now, the Amar Oven bar Huna, Amar Chan bar Gurya, Mutter lechanek b'Shabbos. He allowed to perform the strangling on Shabbos. I don't know what there's some sort of therapy that was done on Shabbos. Rashi says, "Lechanek is misha nifrika chulya shel mafreka savaro." It's some sort of chiropractic thing. He said, like a displaced bone in your neck. Vinofelus begrono tolin also berosho she savaro nafsho v'dom lechanika. You sort of put your hands around his neck to put the bone back in place. And therefore, it looks like you're choking him. So it looks like chanika, some sort of therapy. It reminds me just of a chiropractor trying to put the bones back in place. That's allowed done on Shabbos. La'amar, I said that right at the beginning. You're not allowed to do any of these medicines at home. There's a chayrim. I think that was put on there. Where is that? I wrote it down somewhere. Right, so he quotes, it's a Tosos in Moikot and Daf Yud Aleph that the Refuas Pashas are not Glubas Manazeh, Tosos in Chulin, Daf Mem Zayin, that you have Nishtanu Ateva, and you can't do it. The Yamshel Shlomo, right, the Yamshel Shlomo in Chulin, Perichas, Simon Yud Beis, writes that there's a Cheirim of Kadmonim, so lo lismoch al Refuas Shabbat Talmud, not to use the Refuas of the Gemara. I believe also that there's a Rekiva Eger who points it out at the beginning of Yoredeya. Fine. Again, the Ran points out here, why is he allowed to do this? Why don't we have the Gzeiro Sikha Simanim? He says, because it doesn't necessarily look like a Rafua. And most of the time, the Ran says, most of the time it doesn't even work anyway. So therefore, you don't make the Gzeiro. Interesting, Ran. Okay, it's the fourth of Rav Huna. Amar Rav Avin Bar Huna, Amar Rav Chan Bar Gurya, La Pupe Yenuka Bishabsa Shapridami. You're allowed to wrap up the infant on Shabbos, it has to straighten the bones. You need to wrap the baby tight in order to make the bones straight. Rav Papa Masni Banim, this previous ruling, right, that we just had, about Rav Papa Masni Banim, but Rav Zvid Masni Ben. So there were two, we had two cases. One case was Banim, which we had over here was, apparently Rav Papa taught two rulings about children, and Rav Zvid only taught one ruling about children. So Rav Papa Masni Banim, Rav Papa taught about children, v'tarvayu maslu ba'avin bar Huna. Meaning he taught both of the halachas, taught by Rav Avin bar Huna, which number one was the tying the knot around the baby, and wrapping around the kid, and wrapping the infant. And Razvid masni ben, Razvid only taught the case of one child, kamaisna masli ba'avin bar Huna. He only taught the first halacha regarding the knot, tying the knot, but hi masla baraba barbar khana. But the second din about wrapping the baby, he didn't learn that in the name of Rav Huna of Rav Chava bar Gurya. He tore the name of Rabba barbar khana. The Amar Rabba bar khana lepupe yunuka b'shabsa shapridami. The question is, who is the second halacha? Who was it taught by? Rav Papa said the second halacha was taught by Rav Avin bar Huna Amar Rav Chava bar Gurya, and Razvid said it was taught by Rabba barbar khana. Now the Gemara brings a couple rules about some incantations. This is from Abaye's mother. Amar Abaye, again, don't try this at home. Amar Abaye, Amar Li Aim, my mother taught me, Kol Minyana Bishama Di Ima, the Kol Kitre Bismala. Anytime you say an incantation, you have to use the mother's name. If the person is ill, you use the mother's name. That we do, right? That we do, maybe because the mother has more rachamim, so you ask him for rachamim. But any knots are tied on the left arm. La Amar Abaye says, Amar Li Aim, my mother told me, Kol Minyan de Mefarshe ki de Mefarshe, with Lo Mefarshe Arboin de Chadzimne. Anytime you have incantation, the amount of time, and it tells you how many times to do it, you're supposed to say, if it says to do it three times, do it three times. Don't do more, no less. But the Lo Mefarshe, but those incantations where it's not listed how many times you're supposed to say them, you do it 41 times. Okay. Tana Rabbanon, we learned in our Braisa, Yotze Be'evet Dekuna B'Shabbos. The woman can go out with this Evan Tikuma. So the Evan Tikuma apparently is this sort of stone used to prevent miscarriages, I believe. Evan Tikuma, Rashi says towards the bottom of the short lines, Evan Shinosos Oso Nashim Ovros, pregnant woman, Shaloya Piru, Lilolya Pilu, Bikorim Kot Anabilaz. The woman could go out with the Shabbos with this stone to preserve a pregnancy. But Mishum Rabbi Meir Omru, in the name of Rabbi Meir, they said, Ap Mishkal Evan Tikuma. You can even go out if you have you have one Evan Tikuma, and then you weigh it, how much it is, anything that, and you can take something, like the counterweight of that stone, can also be used to prevent the miscarriages. And Velo Shehipila, and it's not only permissible if somebody, it's not only permissible if she had miscarried previously, and therefore she's afraid to miscarry again. Even if she is just concerned that maybe she might miscarry. Veloshe Ibra, not even if she knows she has become pregnant. El Shemitas Abravitapil. She can walk out of it even if she's, I guess, not pregnant at all. She may become pregnant and may miscarry. She can still walk out with it. Amar Avim Bar Shlomo Mishmei Dabaye. I don't know how you, I mean, why that's not, you're carrying it in your hand. I don't know. Amar Avim Bar Shlomo Mishmei Dabaye. Vahud Ikavin Iskal. This is only true if the counterweight is exact amount of weighs exactly. It can't be an ounce off. Then the Gemara says, "Bayi bayi mishkal to mishkal mai." What about the counterweight of a counterweight? You know, two steps removed. That they leave as a teku. Whether she can go out, whether she can go out with this. Okay. Va'amar Abaye says, "Amar li aim." My mother said to me also, "Li ishta bas yoma," right? For a fever that only comes once a day, lishkel zuza chivara. So you take a white zuz, some sort of white coin, the lezel lemilchasa, and put it with salt, some sort of salt, the lishkel matklein milcha, and weigh it against its weight in salt, ulitzari b'chalal d'beit savor b'gir baraka. And then you tie the salt by the neck opening of a shirt with a strand of hair, and that's going to cure him of this fever. V'ilo, and I guess that these items are not available, leisuv aparshas drachim, that you sit at the crossroads, sit at the intersection, v'kihavi shumshuna gam l'dar midei, and when you see a large ant carrying something, lishkel v'lashnei b'gufta d'nachsha, you take the ant, and you put the ant on some sort of copper tube, some copper thing, v'listei ba'avara, and then you close the tube up with lead, v'lichtemei b'shitin gushpenei, you seal it with 60 different types of seals, v'libarzule, and then shake the tube, v'lidire, and carry it, and put the tube on your shoulder. The layman say to the ant that's inside, t'unach alai u'tunach alech. Your burden is upon me, and my burden is upon you. Like kaparas, I'm transferring what I'm carrying goes on you, and when you're carrying goes on me, now you, the ant, have my fever. The Gemara says, Amalei Rav Acha, Breda Rav Huna Rashi, v'dilma inish ishkachav iskripe. Why are you saying that what you have, what the ant is carrying goes on me? Maybe somebody else previously found this ant and has already put his illness upon that ant. So how can you say that what you're carrying goes on me? That means I'm taking the illness and putting it upon me. El alei malei, what you should say is t'une utanach alai, my burden and your burden upon you. Not that I'm switching, I'm just taking my burden and putting it on you, the ant. Okay? The ilo, and I guess these things are not available, the person who's sick, lichkol kuza chadasa, you take some small new earthenware vessel, the lazil nahara, go to the river, and lemele, and say say to the river, nahara nahara, river river, osban kuza demaya l'orchla de iklile, lend me a vessel full of water to heal this illness that has come upon me. Then you have to circle the vessel full of water seven times around his head, and then toss the water behind him into the river, and say to the river, Nahara, Nahara, river, river, take back the water that you gave to me, the orcho de ikale, because I'm getting fever constantly, biyoma asa biyoma azala. It came upon me in this day, and it has now left me in its day. Okay. Amar Rav Huna, we'll give another remedy. You know, there are a bunch of remedies. No, we'll stop here. Stop at Amar Rav Huna. We'll pick up with some more Talmudic medicine tomorrow. Not so much tomorrow. And then the Gemara will continue. All right. Everyone have a great day.